Thanks, Brian.
Well, good morning. I'm afraid I left my voice back in Chicago, so forgive me, but we'll be fine. Is that okay? Can you hear me okay? This is Ahan. This is Ma'an. This is, can we go to lunch? I'm not a Hoosier. Yeah. And what does that mean? It means that yesterday I arrived at Pastor Bob's right on time, which meant I was an hour late. In Illinois, we're always behind the Hoosiers. Do you remember that little Super Bowl thing? But that's okay. To make up for it, as Pastor Brian said, I do come bearing gifts. And what is that? We have for each of you an absolutely free ESV Bible. ESV stands for Extra Special Version. Just kidding. But it really is known for its accuracy and its rhythm and flow. And you can have either a chestnut filigree design or a very manly midnight flame design. So, you know, you decide which one you like. So when we're done with this session, if you don't mind everybody coming up front, we won't have you sign a card or pray a prayer. But come down front and everybody just come this way and help yourself to a free Bible. And that's compliments of my friend Bill Anderson at Crossway. So I'm just amazed that he was able to come through for this. And by the way, he can't do this for every conference everywhere. So don't go tell your friends. Okay. Well, all right. Good to get to be with you. And as Pastor Brian shared, my ministry is simply called Prayer Life. We have a full course that just teaches people and hopefully is very helpful in how to pray, how to get through this life. And so in light of that, let's spend some time praying quietly. And in just a little bit, I'll close us. So let's pray. Amen. Now, let me ask you how that went for you. And let me just give two preliminary ideas before you respond, because I want to write your responses on the board. Number one, thank you in advance for your honesty. Okay? For some of you, that might have been a wonderfully positive time. And if that's the case, I'm really not interested in hearing from you. Okay? I want to hear from those of you who may have struggled and had trouble with a prayer time like that. So thank you. I'm going to write some of your answers up here on the board. Can everybody see this, by the way? Can you? This is a hon. This is a okay. So some of you can see it. Okay, I'm going to go with those of you who can. How did it go? And in particular, I'm interested in finding out any struggles that you may have had with that time. Yes, sir.
I was struggling with trying to keep the to-do list out of my head.
Right. Yes. I think I thought of at least 35 things. The 35-thing to-do list. Yes. Right. Just curious, how many others, when you went to pray, the to-do list popped up? Okay. That's a lot of us. Very good. Thank you. How many of you had 35 things on it? Or are you like me, you start panicking after about 7 or 8? But thank you. The to-do list pops up. Good. What else? Yes, in the very back. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, you know, and what, you know, I was going there for a while, and then I started remembering bad doctors, you know, or bad memories cropped up, you know? So, good. Yes, bad things. I'll be easy on doctors. Any doctors in here? Okay, thank you. Yes, others, other struggles that you had. Yes, sir. Right. 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 You know, right. That's great, though. I love it. How many of you, well, how long was that? How long did it seem? 5 minutes? Half an hour? Others? It was just slightly over 3 minutes. And normally in a prayer life seminar, we give a full 5 minutes. And most American audiences are just about to climb the wall with just 5 minutes of praying. So how long did it seem? Did it seem too long? You know? I mean, how many of you thought, why did Pastor Brian bring this guy in? I know perfectly why he brought Don Green in, but why this guy Bob? You know? This guy's just, whoa, what's he doing? And notice I kind of set you up. I didn't tell you we were going to pray 5 minutes. And you were kind of, pretty soon you ran out of stuff to pray about. And then you daydreamed, and then you came back, and oh, I should be praying, oh, I shouldn't. How many of you felt some guilt? I find that, and we've taken just, we're coming up on 10,000 people that we've taken through prayer life. One of the common denominators when it comes to praying is an overwhelming sense of guilt. You know? And the guilt leads to a sense of shame. You know, I really should be better at this. But I'm not. What's wrong with me? You know, it seems to be working for everybody else, but I seem to be just such a goofball. You ever felt like that at times? Maybe not this morning. Maybe this morning you were on your game. I mean, you heard a wonderful message and you got coffee in the gym. Maybe you were on your, but that's just not always the way life is, is it? A sense of guilt, a sense of shame can really come over us at times. Other struggles. A sense of inadequacy. Boy, that's a big one. I am so good at that. That's right, my brother. Yes, other struggles. We can move over into just prayer in general, if you like. Yes, ma'am, and then sir. Yes. Yes. Yes, hard to concentrate, especially with silent prayer. Yes, good. For the sake of space, I'm going to abbreviate it, if that's okay. Yes, and yes, sir. Yes, and elaborate a little bit. What's the dead air space in prayer? Yeah. Well, you know what? It's really hard because we cannot see our Father. And I mean, it makes it really awkward, if we're honest. You can't see facial expressions. You can't hear the uh-huh. You know, there's no sign that he's getting what you're saying. And that can just be freaky at times. You know, if we're honest, okay? If we're honest. Others, yes, yes, ma'am. Fall asleep, yes, right. I know it. It is something. Did anybody else nod off? Or was it just Sean? It's Sean, right? Was it just Sean and Bob? We often teach prayer life on Friday nights and a Saturday morning. Doesn't matter where I am. Every Friday night, it's been a long, hard week. And boy, you just come in and you're quiet. I lose a few. Every audience. So, Sean, thank you for your honesty. And by the way, we're going to change the name of the conference from Seed Conference to How to Pray When Your Own Prayers Put You to Sleep. Okay. Okay. Any other struggles in prayer that you just have in general? Yes, in the very back. Yes. That's so smart. And you know what you're doing? You're actually doing Romans 8:26 and following. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. You know, we're just so distracted, or we're so worn out, or we're overwhelmed with a sense of this isn't going well. And the great promise of God is the Spirit says, don't worry, I'll take your sloppy praying. Amen? I will be your friend and your comforter, and I will take your sloppy, messy praying to the Father. In fact, the book of Revelation says that the prayers go into a bowl of incense, and the Father just enjoys the aroma. Is that cool? Okay. As badly as that went just now, do you realize that being a child of God, you're messy, sloppy, sleepy, praying, all became a pleasant aroma to our Father because of the all-efficacious death of Jesus Christ and the transporting power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So I got some great news for you. If you are bad at praying, you're in the right place. If you're awesome at praying, you're excused. Because the parts of prayer life that we're going to dip into, I was telling Pastor Brian, prayer life, this course, it's only for those of us who are bad at praying, okay? So, you okay with that? I'm getting honest. I'm going to be so honest with you. You may not like me, and if that's okay, just don't invite me back. That's an easy problem to solve. But at the same time, here's the problem. You're not in heaven yet. You don't get to see him yet. And so it's just going to be, it's going to feel awkward for a while. Are you okay with that? Can you live with that? Can you live with what Pastor Don shared this morning? It all looks like it's all coming unglued. You know, and the prophet is basically saying, why even pray? Why do this? You know, it's going so badly. So prayer is hard. We do this course in several different groups. Let me share with you some of the responses from other groups. Here's a church in Williamsburg, Virginia. Mostly the same things were said. Let's see. Let me try to pull out some ones you did not say. Oh, why pray when you can work? You with me? Why pray when why do I need to pray? I can just go out and get her done. You know? We are an active-oriented culture. It's hard to slow down. And we American Christians are especially good at struggling with this. I really believe that the American culture is the hardest place for a Christian to learn prayer. Because we are so busy and we have so much coming at us. You know, it's just hard for us to slow down and stay focused. He knows it already. Why bore God? Sounds like I'm nagging him. I feel too guilty to stop. One guy said, well, prayer is boring. You know? Church in Philadelphia, same kinds of things. It was hard to concentrate. I'm in the middle of praying, and my mind goes wandering. We're used to being entertained, and prayer isn't entertainment. Let's see, church in Chicago. We try to make prayer academic, something we will be graded on. Or I go to pray and spiritual warfare happens. Have you ever been praying and some of the most evil thoughts that you could possibly imagine pop up into your head? What is up with that? What's going on? We're going to talk about that a little bit through the conference, prayer in spiritual warfare. One guy just said, Bob, my mind is so crowded, I just don't know where to put prayer. Another said, it doesn't seem natural, therefore I don't think it's real. And again, in our culture, we're big on this. We have to feel authentic. We've got to feel authentic about everything. Have you noticed that? But really, there is a rather unnatural side to praying that we're going to talk about a little bit. But here was the answer I found really interesting. I think you will too. You ready for this? What was your 5-minute prayer time like? One guy came up and said, It was overwhelming. In fact, he told me later that night, I was staying in his home, and the gentleman said, "Bob, I think that was one of the hardest things anybody has ever asked me to do. Pray 5 minutes." It was interminable. Now, what's interesting about that is who said that. If I gave you his name, you'd probably know it. If I told you the company he built, the pharmaceutical company that he built, you'd probably take their drugs. We're talking about a very bright and very talented man on many levels. And yet he said, "Bob, when you ask me to pray quietly, 5 minutes, I think that was one of the hardest things anybody's ever asked of me to do." And I have found that the more a person has on their plate in terms of responsibility, often the harder it is for them to learn how to pray. With me? One of the guys who went through prayer life was President Bush's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Steve Preston was his name. And he came through prayer life one time. He's the guy who took over the Katrina mess after Mike Brown resigned. You with me? Remember that? And he said, "Bob, this is overwhelming. I feel like I've got spiritual nausea all the time. I need to learn how to pray." Because let me tell you what happens. Okay? In the Christian life, it's easy to construct a holiness chart in our minds. Okay? What? Sorry. Just want to see if you're awake, okay? And this is the baseline, you know, this is kind of normal. And then the positive numbers represent positive spirituality. Oops, 3 comes after 2. Yes, I can count. You know, this represents positive spirituality or holiness, and these negative numbers are, well, not. Okay, so what happens? Well, we come to Christ, we're excited, and pretty soon the joy kind of wanes because, I mean, you know, we can't always be on a high all the time emotionally. And so, you know, we kind of go through ups and downs as far as the emotional side of the Christian life. Okay, that's pretty normal because the Christian life is real life. But then what can often happen is we'll pick up a biography of George Mueller or Dawson Trotman or Martin Luther or some of the great guys who really learned how to pray, and God did mighty things through them when they prayed. You know, they learned faith. And here's what happens. Oftentimes we can go in our mind and say, "Well, I don't know about the rest of my friends at Heather Hills, but I'm going to do life through prayer. That's how Jesus did it," which is true. Jesus did his earthly life by constantly praying. He constantly interrupted a conversation in order to pray. You with me? When the 72 comes back, you with me? And they say, "Jesus, even the demons submitted to us in your name." Jesus, you know, kind of debriefs them a little bit, and the scripture says in Matthew, in that very hour, Jesus went and talked to his Father, and he said this, "Father, I thank you that you have revealed this unto strong, dynamic missionaries." No, "you have revealed this unto children." Amen. Jesus was constantly praying throughout his earthly life, constantly interrupting conversations teachings, his sleep, in order to pray and be with his Father. And so it's easy to go, you know, I am going to be a stud at praying. And then what happens? Well, you know, the mind wanders, the to-do list pops up. Oh, yeah, I've got to get those 35 things done, you know? And then, oh, boy, maybe even a lustful thought pops up. Where did that come from? I'm in prayer. How can I think that? And then, you know, somebody comes to mind who you don't really like, you know? And maybe you go, oh, this is sure going badly. I feel terrible about this. And maybe you even fall asleep. And you just, right? And what is this? This is just absolutely hitting bottom right here. This is when you just bag it. And you go, oh, why pray? Every time I really try to seriously pray through life, it just ends up bad. I feel bad. It goes badly. Let's just bag it. And this is the place of prayerlessness in the Christian life. And unless you are radically different from every other church and audience I speak to, over 90% find themselves in this place, the place of prayerlessness. Now, your sworn enemy loves it that you are discouraged and that you don't pray. Okay? He actually loves two things. One, that you created a holiness chart in your mind to begin with. Because you honestly thought you could grade your own paper. You know? But two, he loves it that you are discouraged. And basically what he does not want you doing, the greatest fear our sworn enemy has, is what? That you're going to start praying in your helplessness. That you are going to start praying in the place of your defeat in life. Why? Why is he so afraid you're going to begin praying, especially in the areas where you're in over your head? Right, exactly. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are organized and awesome, have it all together, you know, are really cool, really neat at all this. No, come to me, all you who are exhausted, broken. I want you to come when it's not going well. I want you to come when it's going badly. Because guess what you're doing when you fall flat into prayerlessness and you start praying where you're in over your head? Guess what you're doing? You're just living the G word. The gospel. That's why we teach prayer is the one thing we do that mirrors the gospel more than anything else in the Christian life. Why? You are bringing your defeat and bringing your mess and bringing your heartache and your struggle to the Lord Jesus. And he says, I love it when you come like that. That's when I am most available. Come, I will give you rest. Come, I will give you my yoke. We will do your life together. Amen? Okay? So how do you do this? How do you bring your mess daily? How do you bring it several times a day? Well, one of the first things you got to do is take a look at a passage of Scripture where I want us to zero in. And Pastor Brian, I'm sorry, tell me again when I need to be quiet. Okay? Yeah. You okay? Everybody okay? All right, I want to turn to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. And this is the word of God. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, this must have seemed very strange to the disciples, because in the first century Mediterranean world, kids did not occupy the forefront of everybody's attention the way they do in the 21st century American culture. Okay? I mean, kids kind of rule the day in our culture, don't they? Right? There is so much generated towards kids. In the first century Mediterranean world, that was not the case. They would have never thought of building a Disney World if they had the technology. You know, they would have never created a Happy Meal. What's up with that? You know? Why would you do that? Because in that culture, kids were mouthy. You know, they were an imposition. They were expensive. And what you wanted to do was get them through childhood just as fast as you could so that they could start contributing. So let me ask you something. Are the disciples being a bunch of bad guys by trying to keep the kids away from Jesus? What do you think? Yeah, we can't be too hard on these guys. They're just doing what they grew up doing. It's just their culture. You keep kids away from adults, and you especially keep kids away from important adults. And here they come to Jesus. And Jesus loves it. And when they try to get the kids away, what does the text say is the emotion going on in the heart of God? Indignant. Oh, in other words, this is so paramount in Jesus' mind, in the heart of God, that it actually moves him emotionally. No, let them come. Now, was Jesus just saying that he likes kids? He's actually saying something much more profound than that. It is a common recurring theme throughout the Gospels. And it's this: if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you want to understand what life is like with your Heavenly Father, if you want to pray the way I'm going to teach you to pray in Luke 11, you're going to have to think like a child. How a child thinks with his father. Okay? So it's not just a passing, neat little thing Jesus says. It's a constantly recurring theme throughout the Gospels. In Matthew, I'm just going to give you a bunch of references because I'm almost out of time. I'm running out of time. Can I just give these to you and ask you to look these up this afternoon? And just humor me and go, yeah. Okay. Matthew 18, 1 through 6. Mark 9, 33 through 37, Luke 9, 46 through 48, Jesus associates the humility of little children as model kingdom behavior. Humility. Children are humble. They're dependent, aren't they? You know? And he said, this is model kingdom behavior. In fact, Jesus reveals something very simple, but very, again, very profound. Do you have diners here, by the way, where you eat lunch? You have diners? Do you have the booths back to back? If not, you've seen them. You don't talk. All right, what would happen if you walked into a diner and you sat down at a table, and while you were sitting down, you couldn't help but notice that two grown men were in the table right behind you, okay? Two grown guys. You with me? All right. And you were looking at the menu and you overheard one say to the other, you know, these are grown men, you know, I don't do anything unless my dad tells me. Now, be honest, there's a Pharisee in all of us. What goes through your mind when you hear that? And be honest, what goes through your mind? Grow up. What's that? When is he going to grow up, right? Others? Dude, get a life. Wow, talk about failure to launch, you know. Get some responsibility, guy. And yet, here's the thing. In John 5, 19, this is exactly how Jesus referred to his relationship with his Father. I do nothing on my own. I only do what I see my Father doing. Jesus said, I am completely trusting of my Father. And that's how you guys need to get to. Amen? Now, is this just the opposite of what we hear in American culture? Right? Are we supposed to be the best, the greatest, the most mature, the expert? The expert? Excuse me, that one didn't come out. Yeah. And here Jesus says the secret is learning complete trust in my Father and dependence upon my Father. That's the secret. You got to learn how to be a child. Amen. Isn't that fun? Isn't that wildly simple? Isn't that so simple you just wonder, whoa, what have I been missing all these years? And yet it's exactly how Jesus brings the context of life. Jesus is actually, he's very childlike, even in Gethsemane, when he's praying with this agony of passion. In Mark 14, 36, he says, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is a word, we don't even have an English word for it. It is so intimate, and it is so full of respect, there is no English word. So, and in Jesus' day, he just used the Aramaic term, Abba, Father. I am in turmoil because my hour has come, and yet, at the same time, I am completely dependent and trusting. That's the secret. That's the key of how to learn to pray. So what does this mean? What are children like in other areas? Well, a couple of things. What does it mean to be childlike in our praying? First of all, if something is on a child's heart, if something is bugging them, or if they feel very strongly about something, out it comes, right? Children have no filter. Boom, especially small children. Out it comes. My son Ben taught me this. You know, this is kind of neat. Ben is 27 now, but there was a day when he wasn't quite two. And we were driving down the interstate, and he pointed to the golden arches. And guess what he said? Donald's daddy, Donald's. And let me tell you, what do you think went on in his dad's heart? Let me tell you what did not go on in dad's heart. And by then, we didn't know trans fats nearly as much. No, what did not go on in Dad's heart was this. Son, it's, first of all, McDonald's. We've got to work on your articulation. Secondly, they are a major employer in Oak Brook. You need to say this with respect. And thirdly, I know you're not quite two, but I've noticed this selfish pattern in your life. No, Ben was almost two, but he was coming and expressing what was on his heart. And I'll be honest with you, I loved it. Amen? Is that kind of neat? Any other dads in here? If not, you know dads, right? You know of a dad? Okay. You had a dad at one time? You know, there's something going on. And it's just there's a wonderful delight that happens in a dad when the child comes to him. Now, just for fun, again, I don't have time because I've only got 6 minutes, right? Are you okay for six more? Doing okay? Jonathan Edwards, just go Google this, but Jonathan Edwards wrote some marvelous thoughts on how a father delights in his child. And so that did not originate with you dads, and it didn't originate with you moms. That was put there in creation, right? That's why when you go to the school play, you don't go just because you like kids. You go because you're looking for someone. That one's mine. That one is mine. And you take delight in mine being in the crowd. Am I right? In fact, there are times in the New Testament where a voice boomed from heaven. This is my son. Like at his baptism. In him I am pleased. I take delight in my son. And guess what? You and I are now sons. You know? And so out it comes. If it's on the child's heart, out it comes. What does it mean to learn to pray? What does it mean to pray like a child? I think this. When you pray, go with what's on your heart. Give your heart to God. Bob, are you asking me to be selfish? Actually, I'm asking you to be honest. Okay? Don did a marvelous job this morning. Those were prayers of lament. You know? That was honest praying in the prophet. And the prophets are full of honest praying. The Psalms are full of honest praying. In fact, in Jeremiah 2, God gives a complaint about his people. And guess what he says in Jeremiah 2? Hello, are you awake? You're not going to believe this. His complaint is, you never bring me prayers of lament anymore. Where are you? Don't shut your heart down. Bring your heart to me. What does it mean to learn how to pray as a child? If there's something on your heart, pray through it. Go with it. It's a lot like the beach ball at the surf. You've done that. You've tried to hold the beach ball down underwater. And guess what happens? It keeps popping up. Boom, boom, boom. When you're praying and things keep popping up, take those things to your Father. He will not scold you. He will receive you because of the blood of Christ and because of his personal delight in his children. And here's what you'll find. If you'll go ahead and pray through those things that keep popping up, you'll actually get over yourself more quickly. You know, you'll just get it before your Father. And this is when you begin to feel the rest that Jesus talked about. You know, come to me and I will give you rest. So children are not afraid to tell you what's on their minds. And what does that mean? It means you go to God as you are. Don't get frozen or paralyzed by a sense of your selfishness. Now, Bob, are you advocating immaturity? No, I'm not. Because believe me, I know now my son Ben is 27. He's an electrical engineer, and he works on your aircraft carriers. Okay? That's his job. And I know that if we're driving by the Golden Arches at 27, and it's Donald's Daddy Donald's, I've got some fathering to do. Right? But guess what? He's still my son. Amen. I still take delight in him. And though in my mind I go, okay, got to grow this little guy. Well, this big guy. Got to grow him in the Lord. I'm still going to do it with delight. Children are not afraid to come as they are. I'm not advocating immaturity. I am advocating honesty. And then next, can I have two more minutes, please? How are you doing? Everybody? If I promise in 2 minutes, I will stop talking. Children learn an awful lot through just simple play. Play. And what happens when they play? Often their mind is bouncing. You know, they're all over the place. It's really pretty cool because they're learning a lot when they play. Here's what I have for you. Learning how to pray as a child of your father is this. If your mind is bouncing, just spend some time praying through where it's going to. Go with it. Bob, did you say go with your ADD? I sure did. You know? One of the things I find in trying to take prayer seriously in the Christian life is I learn a lot about myself, my hang-ups, you know, my sins, my foibles, because my mind is all over the place. And if you'll just go ahead and pray through them, your Father will receive them. Is that kind of cool? That's obviously on your heart because your mind is bouncing. And then also, you know, how many of you have been to seminary? Just about five of us. You know what happens after you go to seminary? It's great stuff, don't get me wrong. But oftentimes we just look at the scripture and everything is a work task. Every passage, okay, I've got to parse the verbs, decline the adjectives, diagram the sentences, block the text, create an intro, a conclusion, come up with illustrations, try to make this thing preach. You know? Nothing wrong with that. We're just messed up. That's great. You got to do that. It's our job. It's our calling. Amen? But let me encourage you. Just spend some time with the scriptures, just you and your Father. What does that look like? It can look like this. Father, what does it mean that you are going to be my shepherd today? You know, just relax and enjoy the scripture. And as you read the scripture, you can't help it, but you're going to want to respond to God's message to you. Father, thank you. You really are going to shepherd me through these projects at work, aren't you? You really are going to see me through my feelings so bad all the time. You know, you really are going to see me through this debt crisis, aren't you? You know, children learn by just enjoying time with their Father. And you and I learn how to pray by just being with our Father. And then another key point, I've got 30 seconds. Children know how to ask, right? They know how to ask. And if they ask, especially small children, and you say no, how do they respond? Yeah, I tell my youngest daughter, Emily, when she was 12, she wanted a cell phone. Anybody been through that desert yet? I love it because I say, sweetheart, you taught me how to pray. Because she came and said, Dad, can I have a cell phone? And I said, no, sweetheart. And she said, oh, Dad, you're so wise. Dad, it's such a joy to submit to you. No, not at 12. She didn't. She'll do it more now at 20, thank God. But at 12, it was no. Guess what? Why not? Well, three reasons. When young men call, I want them calling the house. I want to answer, and I want to sound like I'm in a bad mood. Let me tell you, Emily found every angle in which to ask. She tried shaming me. Dad, all my friends have cell phones. Their dads love them. She tried guilting me. Boy, Dad, at school I had to stand in the rain to tell you that I missed the bus, you know? And I said, sweetheart, you can walk in. There's a payphone in the lobby of the high school, of the middle school. She said, oh, Dad, nobody uses the payphone. That's the ultimate in humiliation. You don't want me to be humiliated, do you? I mean, she asked. And let me tell you something. For a lot of us, it's been a long time since we asked. I just want to encourage you to get your request before your Father. If you'll look at all the parables that Jesus taught about prayer, the common theme, the common denominator in every one of them is ask. You got to ask. In fact, at one point, he uses the parable of the neighbor at midnight. Ask, act like I'm asleep. I'm not. I never sleep. I never slumber. But act like it. Bang on the door. Yell up to the window. Ask of me. Ask of me. In the farewell discourse, John 14, 15, and 16, how many times does Jesus say, ask in my name? Ask, ask, ask. I'll go ahead and tell you the answer so you'll know it for the quiz. Just kidding. He gives it six times. I want you asking. I want you coming. I want your honesty. And lastly, I've already lied. I went over 2 minutes. But the children speak with plain language. And all I want to say here is in learning how to be a child of your Father in prayer, don't feel like you have to create this beautiful, rhythmic, Shakespearean verse. Sometimes praying will happen that way. Most of the time, it does not. Even what we call the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches very simple, unsophisticated, childlike language. Let's pray.